Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name's David Reed. This man here is Marek Larwood.
Hello, millions of listeners. Welcome to the film podcast.
And this week we are joined by a very special guest. It's Mr. John Luke Roberts. Hello.
Hello.
Friend of the show, John Luke Roberts.
Oh, that's nice. I didn't know.
Yeah, that's
right. Do you like being called John Luke or Luke or John?
John Luke or Luke, not John.
Why?
I feel weird. If people say John, I think, oh, you don't know me very well. Mm-hmm. You'd know that it's either John Luke or Luke.
What percentage do you get?
I get largely Johns from people who I've just met. And then I look.
Oh, okay.
Askance. I don't really mind being called John. It's just nobody ever calls me John. I was always Luke, and then I had to be John Luke for equity reasons.
Oh, it's equity. It's yeah. not actually.
Well, no, my first name is John, but I always use my middle name, which is Luke. But I've had to hyphenate them in order to. Well, actually, for spotlight reasons, because then equity made me hyphenate Luke and Roberts together. So on equity,
all
I'm John.
Three.
Luke Roberts.
Oh, I see.
Wow.
I know.
That sucks.
Yeah.
But I always assume it was like John Luke. Like Jean-Luc Picard.
Well, it does. It sounds like that, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. But it's not Jean, is
no,
it?
It's John. I do get Jean-Luc.
Jean-Luc.
Every now and then. I quite like it.
That's quite good, I think. I think that's...
Jean-Luc Robert.
Robert! Yeah.
Have you got any more middle names?
No, I've used them up.
Have you got middle name?
Yeah.
Yes, you...
Mine's Ryan.
Ryan?
But
if after I get, Ryan Giggs?
After Michael Ryan, the murderer, the... went on a killing spree in Hungerford in the named after him.
Jack Ryan?
It's
Shadow Recruit.
But I think I said this before, I get post if they use my initials, Mr. Larwood. Because it's MR.
Mr.
So you know when you get when any of your banks put your initials.
Well mine's DR, so I'm Doctor.
Oh, so you're Mr. Doctor.
Mr. Doctor, yeah.
For a really exciting second, I thought I'd worked out, Marek, that your surname was an anagram of Warlord, but it's not.
It's not.
I wish it was.
Warlord.
It's not. Yeah, my ancestor is traced back to Geoffrey de la Woad, who came over to Norfolk in the something like the 14th century or something.
Right. Did he invent Woad?
Yeah. He invented
blue paint that you put all over himself.
He invented woods, because that's what they're called then.
Oh, right.
Yeah, he brought the trees to England.
That's good.
Yeah,
it would have been a boring place before the tree, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Black concrete.
Well, we're not here to talk about ancestry, but that would be a good spin-off podcast, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
They do that TV show, didn't they? Who do you think you are?
Who do you think you are?
Is anyone interested? And they all have to try and pretend to cry when they realise their grandparents just, you know, got their dick caught in a...
threshing machine,
and
therefore
machine.
couldn't feed their families at all. It's a great show. Films, gentlemen, films. Yeah?
You went to see a preview then?
Yes, thanks to Luke. Now, how did this come about, Luke?
On Twitter, it said, hey, do you want to come to this preview? Click here if you do. And I clicked on it. And then got two tickets to the preview and will now be bombarded with things from Show Film First, who I used to sign up to, and then would give you tickets to one preview a year and then try and give you free tickets to comedy gigs with people I know in them.
That's weird.
Yeah.
What is it then? What's this website?
It's Show Film First.
I've not heard of it. Can you tell?
It's called Show Film First. I think it's showfilmfirst.com. If you sign up, then occasionally there are previews of films. So the other one I went to, I mean, I haven't really been... I went to Cabin in the Woods years ago. So it's films which they...
I think, can't give away too much when they're trying to sell it, so try and do it in a word of mouth way by getting people to come along and then spread the words, because you can't train
things they predict play. Are going to be a bit culty and they're not spending a huge amount of money on that.
And where is it shown?
Well, that was at Odeon Covent Garden.
Odeon Covent Garden, so it was all right. But no, I was thrilled, because the film we're talking about, we haven't actually mentioned yet, we went to see Birdman, which we've mentioned recently is something that I really wanted to see.
From the trailer, it's like one of the most interesting films.
Yeah, and, well, let's get into it. I mean, let's tell you what it is about first. Michael Keaton plays an actor called... Regan Thompson, who is a sort of washed-up actor around Michael Keaton's age.
I know that feeling.
Who is only famous for having played a superhero in the 90s called Birdman. So the parallels to Michael Keaton's own career are obvious. But he is trying to... rejuvenate his career by putting on a play that he has adapted from a novel himself on Broadway, and he's going to act in it. And so the entire film is the days before the previews of this play with the rest of the cast, and that's it basically,
gone mad, is he, or something?
Up for debate. But I've got another crazy of it.
Yes,
a bunch of actors pretend to be actors banging on about being actors, while a couple of actors pretend to be people who have to work with actors banging on about actors.
That's right.
Because I would have quite liked to watch the first one. When the way you described it, you might as well just get in his car with a bunch of comedians on the way back from a gig.
Yeah,
is it an actor's film?
It's about being actors.
I don't think that's a negative point. It's about.
I found it in the hours that have passed since we've seen it.
Yes,
my view has gone sort of. It slipped down to the negative. I think.
Really?
I think it looks brilliant and it's acted brilliantly.
Let's talk about the look and stuff. We'll get into the debate on whether it's good.
Alejandra Potatoca.
No, he's it's Alejandro.
Well, so far I'm pretty
something
close.
Something in Inuito.
I'm looking him up
he
now.
He did Babel, and he did. Yeah, that's right.
Alejandro González Iñárritu.
That's it, Alejandro González Iñárritu.
And he wrote it as well.
Yes, but
with three other people.
He did Babel. He did Amores Perros and stuff like that. But anyway, what sort of beautiful, Luke's quite right, about this film is that it is a single shot, the entire thing.
What?
I mean, they've obviously...
Like Rope?
Yes, exactly. But with modern camera techniques, they're able to treat it slightly. But I'm doing a bit of reading. They would do 15 pages in a single take, for instance.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and so it's hugely ambitious, and it is all one continuous camera move. And that is beautiful. The entire soundtrack is... a drummer on his own. That's it. And that works as well. It's sort of...
Yeah.
You wouldn't think it does, but it really does. That sort of syncopated jazz drumming that's on the trailer you've seen is what the soundtrack is throughout. It comes in and out. It's not always there.
Just a side note. The trailer... I haven't watched that for quite a while now, but is the trailer completely... Is the trailer from the film, or was it something separate? It was.
No, it's all shots from the film. It starts with, what is it? I hate this town. It smells like balls. Which is how the film starts. I disagree with Luke. Just to get in there first, I really, really like this film. I thought it was excellent. The screenplay is fantastic. I thought it just the characterisation and the interactions between them all. It's just such a cut above nearly all other films, you know. And
is it improvised or
it's tightly
very
scripted.
Heavily written.
Yeah. But the performances are absolutely stunning. The rest of the cast with Michael Keaton are... Edward Norton plays an actor who's brought in last minute to be in it, and he's a bit troublesome, and he's fantastic. Naomi Watts plays another one of the actors in the show. Emma Stone plays Michael Keaton's daughter.
She's in about everything.
Excellent in it as well. And Zach Galifianakis is his lawyer, who is superb.
He's great. Exactly.
Absolutely
great,
superb. I mean, the cast are just stellar. It's a really quality piece of work. Whether you like the story they're telling, that's a different matter.
I think that's true. It's very well
made.
Why
do you not like it? Why has it gone down, having thought about it?
Well, so, it's... shot brilliantly. There's all this, what we haven't mentioned too, is the kind of the weird supernatural stuff that you don't know whether he, to begin with.
Well, it's played quite clearly, but you just still don't know that when he's on his own, he seems to have telekinetic powers. Yeah. But he's also got the voice of Birdman, which is quite reminiscent of Christian Bale's Batman voice in his head, telling him how he's better than everybody else. Which is what you get in the trailer as well.
And then as time goes by, it comes clearer and clearer that these are dream sequences.
Yeah. Or he's losing his mind. That's sort of up to you. But
it's full of all the... It basically, so the camera just moves around this place and then out and all around. And the characters seem to move from one duologue to another. And there's all these relationships hinging around him. There's his daughter, who's a sort of druggy dropout. There's his girlfriend, who's pregnant and then not pregnant. And there's...
His wife, who's, is that Andrea Riseborough?
Yes, Laura. Andrea Riseborough, yes.
No,
is that the girlfriend?
I think that's the girlfriend.
Is that the girlfriend?
Is it? It sounds like it might be one of those things that's a play. That
it feels very play-like.
It certainly feels like it's been written by people who. Are used to writing plays, certainly, but that's no bad thing. When you get an intimate character study, there is something about just letting the characters breathe.
Okay, the thing that I would say falls on the negative for me is that I can't tell whether a lot of those scenes are aiming to be cliched scenes, because they do seem to be replaying scenes you've seen played out in plays loads and loads of times, or whether that's some kind of commentary on theatre or film, as so much of it seems to be.
Yes.
But because they were often quite cliched, and always talking about feelings and about things, rather than talking about other things.
That's a very New York thing, though.
That's
a very American thing to do, though, isn't it?
Just tell people what you're feeling, so they can tell you why you should be feeling differently, and you tell them how you're feeling again.
That's what Americans do.
I feel quite hungry.
Exactly. We don't care, Merrick, because we're English. We couldn't give less of a shit.
What would you say if you were American? I said that.
You say
you should have a sandwich.
I tell you what you should do. You should have a sandwich.
I've eaten beautiful sandwiches in my time. I can tell you, and I remember them all.
This is good. I'll do another one. I feel like I'm about to shit myself.
You should do it and feel what it's like to be a baby again. How I wish I'd had my youth.
Isn't we're doing the film now?
Yeah.
I feel disappointed in my life, but I'm too scared to kill myself.
That's probably an honest response. I would kill yourself. Mm. I would just grab the bull by the horns and do it, because you will regret it for the rest of your life if you don't.
Mm. Okay. Is it because it's someone... Often you get people who... Is he actually Spanish, or is it the writer? You know when you have people writing in a second language?
Yeah. I don't agree with Luke on this. I think the writing was spot on for that world, and I think actually a cut above so many other dramas of this type, because it had such a good sense of humour, and I think the actors was very funny.
Is it a thing where they're enjoying themselves a bit more than the actual?
No, not at all.
See, like Nicole Kidman, she's just doing it, and you think she's enjoying this performance more than anyone else's. I always pick on Nicole Kidman.
Yeah. Not really, no. I mean, the performances were fun to watch most of the time.
Yeah.
And aesthetically, it looked great.
Yeah.
Thematically, what about loneliness and how hard it is to be
I think artist? It's a great piece. I do. I think it's absolutely brilliant.
And what was it like? Were people laughing in the cinema? Was it filled up the screening?
It was actually, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty full.
Yeah, everyone loves a free film.
That's true.
That's a thing.
They urged us to talk about it on Twitter as much.
That was funny. That was quite an interesting thing.
What happened at the end of it then?
No, at the beginning they had this thing up on the screen saying Birdman hashtag Birdman preview. Hey, put up what you thought on Twitter about Birdman with a hashtag Birdman preview, and we'll use the best comment in our advertising.
Wow, you could get Film Fandango on there! Holy shit, we could get 3 or 4 more listeners, man!
How many listeners do you get?
Three or four?
We got quite a lot of downloads, but it's whether they actually listen to
it. It's fewer this week because you're on and you're one of them. So
yeah, that's true.
You're here.
Yeah. So, also, Serial's going out at the moment. Everyone's talking about Serial.
And you can only listen to one podcast at a time.
That's true.
Those are the rules.
It's not like TV. You can watch an episode while listening to a podcast.
That's always weird.
Here's another preview question. Do they show trailers then?
No.
No, it
was no, just straight into the film.
Yeah, not even someone comes down and says hello.
That's great.
Oh, no, a man comes and says hello, but he said hello reading from a sheet. As you said, he could have learned it.
Man comes on and he reads
from... He read from a sheet, but what I loved, it was that clunky, slightly shit thing of the speech he'd written was really sort of like...
I don't think he'd written that speech.
Enthusiastic and passionate, but he was reading it straight off a piece of paper, so it came over as completely disingenuous.
We are delighted to welcome you...
We're so excited to have you all here.
Birdman preview. One of the first Twitter-driven previews of its type.
Okay. Some people in the meeting room had written that out, and he had to go and read it. He
was sent down first class to Odeon Covent Garden.
And he was American?
No, he wasn't.
I think he just worked for the Odeon.
So the budget was $22 million.
Was it?
Yeah.
Well, it's got some good actors in it, and it would have, you know, that it's got some CG, I won't go into it, but and presumably it's got more than we noticed as well in order to do that one-shot transitioning thing.
I could spend an awful lot of time talking about the film, which means I think ultimately it's quite a good film, but it irritated me.
Really? It didn't irritate me at all?
Well, why did it irritate you? I want to hear this.
Well, I think for the reasons I've sort of... I was bored reasonably often. I found myself drifting out of it.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's quite the opposite to me. I found I was never bored throughout the entire thing.
I don't think you two should be friends.
People are allowed to think different things, Merrick.
It's not that healthy.
Opposites attract, Merrick, which is why we are currently, David and I, engaged in full sex.
And I disagree.
What? To what? The acts of sex?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, David,
no. Oh, dear.
I wish you'd told me earlier.
Well, that's going to be broadcast to a lot of people.
I know. I'm sad about now being implicated in even that as a joke. Thanks, David.
Have you seen any other films together?
Well, Luke's been on the show before, so presumably he's
talked about
the
Brazil.
Film. Yeah, Brazil we've talked about, but I've seen that thousands
like
of
Brazil.
Times.
Yeah.
There's similarities, I would say, between
Brazil
and Birdman.
A lot of the same films. I think we also dislike films. Like you, there's some films I like, you hate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I only hate them because you like them.
Yeah, okay.
Sounds like you two are in love.
It does a bit, doesn't
That's not what love is,
I'm
Merrick.
Discovering this at the same time as you, Merrick.
But this is not, this is not fresh love. This is like 2 years, 2 years into a relationship. You
is
know,
there a film called Fresh Love yet?
That would be good. Two young men.
Fresh love.
It's the things that sometimes excite you about in a relationship that eventually drive you apart. That could be the theme. I mean, it's been used. It's quite a well-trodden format.
Yeah.
The excitement, the danger first brought.
It's your love
David and Luke
of,
together.
It's your love of breeding wild boar that brings you together, and it's eventually.
Don't call
the
him
boar.
Wild boar. And why do you like breeding so much?
This is quite. I have to remind you that I don't know if he's still listening. That 9-year-old listener who's probably about 10 now.
Who was 10 when he started? He's probably 20 now.
He's probably about 11.
Doing this a while.
Alex Wishart, his name was. So he's probably getting these are sort of questions.
He's learning a lot.
I sort of regret now not being told about. That before we started.
It's quite alright.
We often forget what we're talking about. So what? How many, have you finished talking about, how many Davids and how many Lukes do you give it?
All contentious Luke.
What do I
how
give
many
it?
Lukes?
Out of five?
Ten.
Out of ten?
Tension is building.
I'm going to give it like 6.75 Lukes.
Okay, there's a decimal Lukeage system. That's entirely your call. That's a Luke system.
Well, we could do it. 6.75 Luke.
No, that's it.
It's normally you say 6 or 7.
I would give it, I think. I'd give it 9 Davids.
Wow.
It's
really?
A very good film. Yeah.
Wow.
I really, really enjoyed it. I could watch Michael Keaton all day, and I thought the cast they put on around him were fantastic, and they all worked superbly together.
It's very long, wasn't it?
No, I didn't find it long. It had three or four possible endings.
Yeah, but they kept on. Is this the ending?
Yeah,
no, that's
yeah.
Not the
did
ending.
That a bit.
There was one ending I was really glad wasn't the ending.
Yeah, me too.
How long was it? Because it doesn't say on the IMDb.
Well, I don't know.
2 hours.
Yeah, about 2 hours. And say it wasn't overly long.
I mean, it's longer than the film ought to be.
It was longer than 87 minutes, which is what a film should be.
Yeah. We agree on that.
We do agree
at
on
least.
That. Yeah, but no, Birdman. I'm very pleased to have seen it.
Well done, everyone, and well done, Show Films First.
Something like that. Show Film First, I think.
Show Films First.
thank you, Merrick, for
Merrick,
your generous...
Before we leave Birdman Forever, are you a Michael Keaton fan? Have you?
I
because
really,
his career is an anomaly, isn't it?
Yeah, he's grown on me as I've got older. I really hated him in Beetlejuice.
No, really?
I really, I just hated that film.
Oh, I love Beetlejuice.
I wasn't a big fan of I wasn't a big fan of Tim Batman. Early Tim Burton.
Tim Batman.
Tim Batman. I didn't.
Really, and his Burton films.
I didn't really like Tim Burton's. I'm not a huge Tim Burton fan.
Oh, I was obsessed with them as a kid.
Okay.
Loved those. But yeah, I mean, then Michael Keaton, he sort of just slowly declined in terms of the good films he could do. I mean, Out of Sight he's in, which is fantastic.
Did he do White
Jackie
Noise?
Brown.
He did a horror.
Yeah, he did White Noise.
I enjoyed that.
Is it called Pacific Heights he did?
That sounds right. What about Massive Robots?
No. Pacific Rim, the sequel to Pacific Heights.
Oh,
that works, doesn't it?
Oh, he's in RoboCop as well.
Yeah, the new one.
Oh, yeah, the new one. I didn't see that.
I did. He plays a baddie who isn't evil. And
it is the dirty secret. Haven't seen the original RoboCop.
What?
It's a classic, mate.
Really good.
Watch it.
But he's in Jack Frost, where he's a bad father who gets killed and comes back as a snowman.
Is he a good snowman?
Oh, he's an excellent
snowman. That's what they
snowman.
Say. Bad father, good snowman.
That's what they say.
He was an odd choice of Batman, wasn't he?
Yeah, because he was the comic actor at the time, wasn't he?
He was. But Tim Burton said he was the only actor who he thought would have that edge to believe that he would be mad enough to dress as a bat and go outside.
Do you remember the point in your life when you realised that the same man had played Batman who had played Beetlejuice?
Yes, yeah,
and
an
it just
feeling.
Didn't. You just couldn't work out how he'd done it.
Yeah, very odd.
And then you realised, oh, it was a mask and makeup.
Yeah, that's how he did it. And acting.
Yeah,
course.
And acting. Oh, acting.
Acting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, I think Michael Keaton's excellent.
Really, I would
it's
like
hardly
Michael
disappeared.
Keaton to be in lots of things.
How old do you think Michael Keaton is?
Ooh.
Have you got it in front of you?
I've got his date of birth here, yeah.
Oh, hang on.
Is he... Go on. Do you want to guess first?
Let's both guess. Let me settle in my mind what mine's going to be, though, before you say.
And listeners, why don't you guess as well, see if you can guess correctly. How old is Michael Keaton?
I'm going to say...
Ooh.
Okay, I've got one.
Go for it.
53.
Ah, I had 55.
Yeah.
Born in 1951, so he's 63.
No. Wow. Well, he's looking okay for it.
He doesn't look like he's had work done, but he looks like he's kept himself trim.
Well done, Michael Keaton.
Well done. Buddy's joining us.
That's excited, Buddy, the dog.
Sorry, he loves applause. He loves applause. Well, have we got any letters, Mary?
Yeah, well, it's only a few days till Christmas. I don't even know. It's
quite a few days till Christmas.
But here's
like a week.
Yeah, it's a week till Christmas.
Here's a letter from Fran Jolly. I bet he's in the mood with a surname like that.
Yeah. Okay, this is from Fran Jolly. Good tidings. Which are the best Christmas films of all time? And do you both have your own ideas for an original Christmas movie? What does Mrs. Claus do on the only time of the year that our hobby is out of the house? Does she have an affair with the head elf? Also, Paddington is worth a watch, and St. Vincent is like a grumpier about a boy. All the best, Francis Jolly from Bournemouth.
Of course, I agree with that sentiment, because I talked about St. Vincent last week.
You did. Yes,
is it worth
you
seeing?
Did. Christmas films.
It's the same. Just go and see it about a boy.
What are our favourite...
It's just a slightly worse version of that.
What are our favourite Christmas films? I am a big sucker for... I mean, Elf is the only one that's sort of become part of people's Christmas calendar now.
Yeah, which happens without me realising. Suddenly, that was one of those films which everyone talks about Christmas.
And I think that's fair enough.
Yeah, it's fun.
I'm a big fan. As a kid, I watched a lot Santa Claus, the movie.
I watched that loads.
The one with Dudley Moore in it.
I never liked that.
Loved it. John Lithgow as the baddie is the best baddie
ever. I should not remember anything about it, but I watched it every year.
Candy canes that make you levitate, because John Lithgow steals the power of the elves in order to sell these candy canes for his business. Then the candy canes go wrong.
We talked about this. I think we talked about this last year, and we said Gremlins and Scrooge.
Yeah.
I think there's all that, like, Gremlins, obviously. I think I've only got the kind of boring ones. Everyone, Gremlins, Scrooge, Muppets Christmas Carol.
Muppets Christmas Carol.
I think they're so in...
Best adaptation of Christmas Carol.
Yeah, absolutely.
And really faithful adaptation of Christmas Carol.
What original ideas for a Christmas film?
Well, everyone's tried it, haven't they? I think I've probably missed the boat on this, because let's be honest, wizard fever has well and truly died down, hasn't it? post-Harry Potter, people aren't as into wizards as they were 10 years ago. But surely...
It's a name, wizard. If you say mage, it's much more exciting.
That's true.
Wizard just sounds like it.
Well, look, Santa, right? Immortal guy, big beard, massive belt, pointy hat, magical powers. He's a wizard, isn't he? So we should do a Santa wizard film, mage film. Santa Claus, the last mage, or something.
And the North Pole is his staff.
There's not actual pole. Right,
not the actual.
Not the,
and it gets stolen.
The
North Pole gets stolen.
No!
And he's got to go and find his pole. Otherwise, the kids won't get presents at Christmas.
But who's his nemesis?
Fred West.
The weather girls.
Who's the one who was... The weather woman who was... husband went, Lembit Oprah went off with the cheeky girls, and it was her. She was really cross about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What was her name?
Yeah.
I've no idea what you're talking about.
I've got an idea for a Christmas.
Sinead? Not Sinead.
Oh, yeah. It's something like that. Sean Lloyd. No, not no, that's a rapper. It's Sean something other.
Is it not Sean Lloyd?
No, she's a singer, that rapper, isn't she?
Oh. Is she?
I don't know what's happening anymore.
Here's a good idea.
Oh, no.
Someone frames Father Christmas for murder. So they know he's coming down the chimney.
Murder on 34th Street.
They leave the biscuits out. Good. They've got his DNA. He drinks the milk. He's got his fingerprints on the glass. Yeah. He's moved the presents around.
Yeah.
He realises he's been framed.
So what does he do? He gets a shotgun and goes mental.
Well, he has to solve the
murder. He has to find who the before.
In a single night.
Yeah. He's got 12 hours to find...
Does he have his powers of bending time taken away from him by something to make it harder for him?
Yes, because they think he's...
They say, I want your badge, your gun, and your ability to bend time.
Yeah. That's what happens. The person who's in charge of it goes, we think you've murdered someone, we've taken all your powers away, so you're just a normal guy in a red suit who's got to find out who's set him up for murder.
Does he still have a reindeer?
Death's Christmas. Santa...
Is there an elf in charge? Like the head, the commissioner guy who's in charge of him, is an elf, so it's a funny little...
Yeah, but maybe the elf has framed him for the murder because he wants to get the thing.
Oh, you've spoiled it now, and now I know who did it.
I think it's a good film.
I think that is a good framing film.
Who framed Father Christmas?
Sex crime Christmas.
It's not a sex crime, is
no,
it?
I think it should be Murder on 34th Street. I think you can get backers for that without a sex crime. With a sex crime...
Not so much.
Okay, not a sex crime, but a crime on 34th Street. Crime on 34th Street.
Murder.
Murder on 34th Street, yeah. Brackets, not sex related.
Sex crime. Forget we ever said that. Seriously, no sex crimes in it.
Jesse, we shouldn't have put that at all. Don't.
That's
you're just going to think of it now.
That's a good idea for a film, isn't it?
It's a very good idea for a film.
You get his DNA.
I'd cut this out of the podcast so that nobody else writes it before you.
I've done quite a few different ones.
This is proof you came up with it, though. This is you could submit this as evidence. Then you don't have to make a film. You can just sue someone who has.
There's semen all over the Christmas tree.
No sex crime.
No, unless they're actual seamen, as in men who come from the sea.
Okay,
but now I'm getting confused what this film's about.
I guess that you know the kind of tinsely stuff you put on afterwards.
Yeah.
You have to save money, use semen.
That's true. Mm. Mine's very metallic.
Mine's sparkly.
This is a deeply homoerotic podcast. Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas, everyone.
What other films? What Christmas films? Because everyone says the same one. What would you really hate?
Oh.
Hate.
Film I've seen at Christmas that I hated.
Star Wars was always a little feature of Christmas time that as a treat it would be on telly, and now that the prequels have become that as well, you can't bloody move for Attack of the Clones at Christmas now. It's just
what's going to be the film on Christmas Day? It'll be Frozen or something like that.
Yeah, he'll be Frozen without a doubt. He'll be Frozen. That's the new wintry film.
I think I'm such a sucker for Christmas feeling. But you just have to put Christmas on a film, and I like it.
I like the
Die Hard, good Christmas film.
I like watching the old Yogi Bear's, because it's in the '80s when I was a kid. Yogi Bear's Christmas, the Christmas cartoons I quite like. The really rubbish Christmas cartoons you watch during the day before Christmas, and you're getting a bit excited.
Why are you cutting out snowflakes?
Yeah. Wrapping up the presents and all that stuff.
Well, hello.
Right, that's...
Is that our letters for this week?
Yeah, I think we read all the ones out the week before.
Right, well, Marek, you've been to see a film.
Well, I didn't go to... I think I've been consistently to the cinema most of this year, but I actually had some work, so I watched a film at home, which is one I wanted to see. It was a popular British film from last year, The Selfish Giant.
Okay.
I've only just found out this is based on the Oscar Wilde book, yes. Selfish Giant, but I've never read it or got any idea.
Well, it's about a giant. It was an old favourite of mine. Well, I say of mine. It was read to me a lot, I remember, when I was a kid. But it's about a giant who has a beautiful garden and kids keep breaking into it and wanting to play in it, and he tells them to go away because it's his garden. So that's the premise, anyway.
Oh, okay, so it's not... It's very loosely based on that, because I couldn't work out why it's called The Selfish Giant. I was watching who is supposed to be the giant here. Have you seen This Is England, the Shane Meadows one, where he's got those child actors?
Thomas Turgoose.
Who was just phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's quite reminiscent of that. It's really...
That doesn't sound like Oscar Wilde's story at all.
No. It's his two friends at school, and one of them's both really working class, poor kids... who are quite feral and live in a sort of a Norman estate, sort of just outside sort of Leeds, Bradford way. And they keep on getting excluded from school, and they just, one of them's quite quiet and nice, but in a really poor family with loads of kids, and they're just eating baked beans for their dinner and just sitting on their sofa. And the other one is just, his brother's like addicted on drugs, he's with his single mum parent, and he's in trouble with the police, and just really horrible. And there's all kids that, you know, someone right wing would say, you know, just kill them.
And what would you say,
centre right, even just centre right?
Centre right.
Yeah, yeah.
What would you say?
I would say, I can't see anyone. So very deprived, poor kids, and they decide that they realise they can make money nicking copper and nicking copper cable and nicking stuff off railway tracks, and they become sort of rag and bowmen and flog their money to this dodgy bloke who's supposed to be the giant, probably, who runs the scrapyard and gives them money for their just copper things, makes them strip it down. So it's just about friendship and about poverty and how... I can't describe how bleak it is. You know, it's all washed out, you know, it's always raining. Yeah. The only sort of nice thing about it is the slower one, who's he's the main guy's friend, likes horses, and wants to race this sort of like pony road racing ponies on the road.
Right.
There's quite a bit sort of gypsy elements in there. Can you say that? I don't know. What's fascinating is the
if there are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, horses and carts and stuff like that. The two actors are phenomenal.
Right.
Two young actors. And you think they must improvise their performances, because they're the same freshness when you see that This Is England, when you see a young kid going, that is so realistic.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of visceral acting. It's watchable, because it's so... you can just watch these two kids. It feels like you watch... Almost it feels... Educating Yorkshire, or educating, you know, those sort of programs you see, like the worst kids in that, times that by two or three. So it's boring on the documentary, it feels, because it's so realistic. It's brilliant, it's a really great film, and thoroughly depressing. It didn't really work at Cannes. I've not heard of the director before. The people you might recognise in it, Ralph Ineson's in it, who plays Finchie in The Office.
Oh, yeah.
Sean Gilder, who's in Shameless. It's all, you know, sort of gritty. It's one of those gritty British films that feels like they're making it feels like a sort of almost a new genre they sort of make, you know, low budget British bleak films,
stuff set near railway sidings and industrial wasteland, industrial wasteland in it, usually with one of those gas towers in the background.
I'll show you the poster. It's electric pylons.
And some
power station in the background.
Power stations, yeah.
If you want to be really... If you want to watch this on January the 1st, you know, when you think...
When you want to really start your year.
Christmas is over.
All hope for a new start.
Is this your alternate Christmas film for everyone to watch
if
in a week's
you're having
time?
A bad Christmas, why not watch this and think, actually, things could be a bit worse?
It sounds like
nicking copper off
It sounds like the Fagin origin story of, you know, how the Artful Dodger came to be in his company.
I mean, you, he's a little bit.
They'll make that prequel.
They will, won't they? Oh, everything's no. about prequels.
You could
days.
Say he, the main guys are Bill Sykes and the kids are the Artful Dodgers going and nicking stuff. I mean, there's a way of putting it. I thought it was really well made. Really, one of those films that's not necessarily an enjoyable watch. That's the thing with these films, you think, I don't enjoy watching it. I find it quite uncomfortable. I can see it's well made.
Are they invigorating, though? I think that's the difference. How do you feel at the end of it?
I just...
Do you feel like going to bed?
Or I feel like I never want to be that poor.
Well, bad luck, mate.
I think it might make you want to start temping. Do you know what I mean? But I recommend it, and you should support these British films. And I think if you want to watch something,
how many merits?
Summer, I think 8.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Selfish Giant. Where can you track it down? Is it readily available?
It was on Film 4, so I think it should be online now. So track that down and watch that. It's worth a watch.
Great. Well, there's two films for you. If you'd like to get in touch with us, and we'll read your emails out probably in the new year now, then please email us, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com, or you can talk to one another on our Facebook wall, /filmfandango, or tweet us, @filmfandango. And we do all of this for free. So if you would like to donate towards our running costs, and thank you to everyone who already has, then please go to filmfandango.co.uk and follow the links from there.
Is there anything you want to plug?
Yeah, do you want to plug anything?
Or website or anything that, or your Twitter or anything like that?
What's your Twitter pen? Your Twitter name?
I do at J. Luke Roberts, but I don't really want to plug everything. It's Christmas.
It's Christmas.
Have a Merry Christmas.
Oh, that's nice. All right. Well, thank you for coming.
Thank you. We'll
be back next week with Christmas cheer for you all. Keep watching the films. Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.